You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, go to cainfive.com. That's cainfive.com. Welcome to Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host, Chef Smarty Pants. And I hope everybody has recovered from the big feed last week. I have. I didn't have such a big feed. I ate, but I didn't like become a pig. It was okay. Kept it all in check. Did a lot of walking, balanced it out. And this year, my birthday fell on Thanksgiving. And my actual birthday is the 25th, but it seems to rotate like every 7 years or so. It lands on the holiday. Although last year, I think it was on Thanksgiving too. So I don't know. Was it a leap year? Something like, who knows? But it's always right around then. So instead of, you know, spending the day doing the birthday stuff, like what a person would normally do on the birthday, I don't know, after all these years, what do? You know, go to work, maybe go out. So instead, I spend the entire day cooking and hosting 10 people in my apartment, which is large, my apartment, by New York standards, but really not all that big. I mean, you sort of look at it and go, wow, this is big. But then you look at all the junk we have and you go, oh, this is not so big. It was a little crowded. We had 10 adults, 10 full-size adults, a six-month-old baby, and a dog. So it was crowded, but remarkably, it was fine. We had, you know, everyone from a six-month-old to an 86-year-old and everything in between. And it was good. Everybody fit. The food was great. My heritage turkey was delicious. All my local produce. It was really almost like a total locavore Thanksgiving. When I sort of looked at the table and I was like, oh my God, almost every single thing here I bought within 100 miles or so. So that was kind of cool. You know, the baby only had one like minor meltdown. She got over it pretty quickly. She was happy. She was eating squash along with the rest of us. So it was a good holiday. I got to say, this one was a big success. Everybody was happy. It went very well. And it was my birthday. And I got a sewing machine, which is a really cool gift. I kind of always wanted one. So that's neat. I don't know how to sew. I'm going to learn. But anyway, because of the birthday holiday crossover, I generally like stretch the birthday part out the whole holiday weekend, since I'm usually off, to kind of make up for like having to cook or host people on the actual day, you know, or having a house full of company and family the entire weekend, which is what usually happens. No offense, family, if you're listening, you know, it's just, you don't always want to do what I want to do. So anyway, once I got everybody cleared out, we ate all the leftovers, done. I got together with this friend of mine, my friend, she's one of my, we've been friends for like, I don't know, 20 something years. We've been friends a long time. And we went to this sake bar in Park Slope that I'd been to once before. I like it. It reminds me sort of places I've been to in Japan, which serve lots of different types of sake and then food, but kind of like small dishes. It's almost like the Japanese version of like a tapas bar, sort of an izakaya, which is a Japanese pub, but really with the emphasis on sake. And I really like sake. And even better, what I like even more than sake, of course, is a deal. As you know, I'm quite thrifty and I love the deal. And you know what Living Social is? It's sort of like Groupon, but Living Social has these coupons for all kinds of stuff. And so I got one for like $15 off at this place. So, you know, that's good. That's an extra bottle of sake right there. So anyway, we're sitting there. We're reading the menu. We're thinking about what to order. And my friend, who I'm not going to name, but she knows who she is, who is very smart, one of the smartest people I know and very aware and does all the liberal, you know, right, not right, like right wing, like correct, liberal, green, PC, Brooklynite things she's supposed to do, like, you know, be a member of the food co-op and play a drum in a samba band and, you know, all that kind of stuff. She does all of that, and I love her. We've been friends for years. But I said, what are you going to order? And she said, oh, I'm going to order the tuna sashimi. And I thought she was joking, so I started laughing. I said, ah, really? And she didn't laugh back. And I asked her if she was serious, and she said, yes. Why? She looked at me like, why are you laughing at me for ordering tuna? So I had to explain to her about tuna. She didn't know that tuna are rapidly being pushed to the brink, practically on the brink of species collapse in the Atlantic and the Mediterranean, and that we shouldn't be eating them because of that. Not all tuna species, but all the sushi ones, bluefin, yellowfin, big eye, all of those. Not like can't like albacore chunk, not chunk light. Chunk white is you shouldn't eat. You can eat albacore. Anyway, the sushi tunas, bluefin, yellowfin, all those, you should not be eating those at all. And she didn't know that. I had to explain. She didn't know anything about it, which I thought was really surprising. She's a very aware person, very enlightened, you know, goes to the food co-op, all that stuff. And this is like, this was an example of like something that I just assume everyone knows because I know it and I read about it and I care about it. So why doesn't everybody know about it and read about it and care about it? Sometimes it doesn't even dawn on me that people don't know what I'm thinking or can't read my mind or don't, you know, care about the same things I care about. I mean, this is something she'd care about if she knew about it, but she didn't know about it. You know, plus the fact that the tuna is full of mercury, and mercury causes brain damage, and, you know, none of us are getting any younger. And I already feel my brain starting to function at a lower level than it used to, so I don't want any mercury in my brain. So I told her about all of this, and she actually didn't know. I was really, really surprised. But it's okay, because I enlightened her. That's my job, and I told her. And she didn't order the tuna, because I made her feel guilty about it, and so, you know, that's my role. And so she didn't. There was no tuna eaten. Oh, they serve tuna at this place. I mean, that's the big hurdle, is getting sushi chefs to stop serving tuna, which I think is nigh on impossible. But anyway, probably about a year ago, I did a show about this similar topic where I talked about little fish, about how the only fish you really should be eating these days are the little fish, the salmons and anchovies. Not salmon. What? Sardine. Salmon's a big fish. The little fish. Salmons are big. Sardine, that's what I meant. Anchovy, herring, mackerel, those guys. Those are the good fish. And, you know, like I said, I just tend to assume that if I'm thinking about it and know about it, everyone must know about it, but that's not the case. So that's my mission. That's my job, is to tell everybody about the things that that maybe they don't know about, but they should, or that I think they should know about, at least. So anyway, she ordered something else. We all ordered food. The food was good. Not fantastic food, but the sake there is really good if you're into sake. The food was pretty good. Anyway, but a really weird thing happened at this restaurant, which was that we had ordered sort of multiple things. Like, Adam had ordered like an app and sort of two small entree things, and I ordered an app and an entree, and everything came out backwards. Like, they brought all the courses in the reverse order with no explanation, no rhyme, reason. They just sort of brought stuff out as it was ready. More in like the way things happen like in Italy, where they just bring the food out as soon as it's ready to whoever ordered it. I thought that was a little weird, because Japanese are usually very formal in their meals and the way things are served. But this was just like, oh, here's your main course. Oh, now here's your soup. Oh, and then, oh, everything's done and the table's cleared. Oh, here's your takoyaki, which are octopus balls, octopus fritters. We'll bring those to you with the check, which didn't really make much sense, but we ate them anyway. Anyway, so on this sort of topic of people not knowing things that I assume they should know or expect they should know, but it turns out they have to rely on me to know. You remember a couple weeks ago I did a show about beverages and about soda and how evil soda is, and how I have this friend who drinks Diet Sprite and I'm trying to get him to stop the Diet Sprite habit. It was a couple weeks ago. I can't remember the episode. I think I called it Soured. It was probably in late October, early November. You can look it up on the Heritage Radio website. So do you remember him, my Diet Sprite friend? Well, he's doing much better. He stopped drinking Diet Sprite, but something else has come up with him. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Cane Vineyard and Winery on the web at cane5.com. Welcome back to Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show. I'm Erica Wides, Chef Smarty Pants, your host. So we're talking about my friend who drinks all the Diet Sprite, which he's now pretty much stopped drinking. He's been cutting back, and I'm very proud of him. But anyway, I know him because he's basically my PR guy, and we're working together to develop some new stuff for my website and do some PR. We've been working together a lot. So we spend a lot of time together, and we talk a lot. And we talk a lot about food, of course, and he really prides himself on his excellent nutrition. And when we first met, he told me all about it. And one thing that he was really proud of was that he had taken the advice of the mainstream nutrition world, who say, oh, you should eat lots of oily fish, salmon, tuna, fish like that every week. So, you know, you do what you think is right. And every week, 3 to 4 times a week, he was eating tuna steaks and salmon filet that he was buying in the supermarket. And he was alternating that with this so-called natural ground beef. Natural, in quotes, ground beef. So, first of all, before I, you know, jump on him about that, I want to give him huge props because he cooks for himself. And he cooks his own dinner almost every night of the week, more than anyone else I know, particularly anyone who is single and living alone in New York. So, big shout out for that because you're cooking for yourself. But then I felt it was my duty, of course, I'm like the little black cloud of bad food news, to tell him about his fish choices and the problems with both of his fish choices. Now, farmed salmon, as we know, because I've talked about it before on here, is a huge environmental just ball of bad wax. It's full of problems because of the waste products that the salmon create. And the fact that they have to feed the salmon, and they feed them grains and corn, which they're not supposed to eat. Have you ever seen a salmon swimming through an Iowa cornfield? I don't think so. And when you feed fish grains and corn, it's like when you feed animals grains and corn, it develops the wrong kinds of fat in their body. So you think you're eating fish to get the omega-3s, which they would get from eating other fish and from plankton and algae, but if you're feeding fish corn, they're developing omega-6s. And omega-6s in ratio to omega-3s in humans is bad and causes heart disease. And that's a whole other show. Plus, they feed them fish meal. And the fish meal is made from this little herring that they catch in, you know, net loads by the bazillion. And those little herrings are like the basis of the food chain in the ocean. And they're being wiped out because they have to gather them up. Because they actually have to catch more fish per pound to feed to the salmon than they produce per pound of farmed salmon. So it causes this like negative protein depletion. So that's why he shouldn't be eating the farmed salmon. So I got him to switch to wild salmon, which was great. And he likes it. And that's good. But you have to make sure your wild salmon's coming from the right place too. It has to be Alaskan. West Coast Alaskan wild salmon. I'm wearing myself out just talking about this. And then, of course, the tuna. I got him to totally quit the tuna. No more tuna. He switched to wild salmon. And then the burger, hamburger stuff he eats was easy. I just said, buy grass-fed. That's easy. Go to Whole Foods. They sell grass-fed. You're good. Natural on a label doesn't mean anything. Natural. Everything's natural. Ultimately, it all comes from something on the planet. But anyway, neither of these people, the friend at the sake bar or the publicist, are in the food industry. So I totally understand. How are you supposed to know about that stuff if you're not in the business and this is not what you read every day obsessively like I do? How are you supposed to know? You know, you listen to what the mainstream media or mainstream, you know, sort of nutrition police or the government, even worse, tell you, and you think that they're right. But you have to kind of dig below the surface sometimes. So anyway, there's this new restaurant down the block from me in Brooklyn, and it's kosher, but it's like nice, like upscale, nice, high-end, interesting, gourmet kind of food, you know, sort of an enlightened kind of menu, not kosher like the kosher restaurants of my childhood, which were pretty freaking disgusting. But anyway, it's a really pretty place. It looks nice. The menu looked really nice. You know, I want to support them. So I walked over there one day, and I took a really close look at their menu. They are serving tuna in 3 different places on their menu: yellowfin, bluefin, sushi, sashimi, Tuna. Now, it's a kosher restaurant. It's a kosher restaurant that serves meat, so they can't serve any dairy. That has nothing to do with the fish. But they also, you know, serve a lot of fish because fish is parve and you can serve it either way. But tuna, three different tuna items on the menu. I mean, dude, this is like, this guy is a chef and a restaurateur. Do you not pay attention to anything? It's one thing for my friends who are, you know, a social worker and a PR guy not to know, but how can you not know that? It's like restaurants that still serve things like Chilean sea bass after all the publicity about that. Food people, at least, should be aware and educated about what they serve. It's our responsibility as the sort of front line to make sure that we know what's happening so we can pass that information on to all of you. It's like if you hired a house painter to come in and paint like the inside of your child's room and he used lead-based paint and said, oh, really? I didn't know that lead-based paint has been banned for, you know, whatever, 25, 30 years now. Huh, I had no idea. I mean, you know, come on, people. There's plenty of information out there. So anyway, the tuna, the salmon, you know, it's a big issue. So what can you eat? Well, I've talked about this before. You can eat the little fish, the sardines, the herring, the anchovies, mackerel. But there are other fish, too. You can look online. You go to, what is it? Seafood Watch. Yeah, seafoodwatch.org. That is the Monterey Bay Aquarium's website where they keep this constantly updated and regionalized list of the fish that are okay. And they've teamed up with Whole Foods. I've talked about this before. So that at Whole Foods now, you can also go there and you can see which are the best choices. It's like a traffic light thing, like green, yellow, and red. The green light fish are the best choices. The yellow light fish are the okay alternatives. And the red light fish you should never eat. Now, I don't know why they would sell the red light fish. I didn't see any there. Hopefully they won't. But that's how you can make your better choices. You go to the seafoodwatch.org site. You can download or send away for little wallet cards, and then you can make your own choices. All right, we're going to take another quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happened in Paris that will affect tuna forever. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. That was some crazy music. Thanks, Jack. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Welcome back, excuse me, to Why We Cook, the Chef's Marty Pants radio show. So today we're talking about fish, specifically tuna and salmon. I've been outraged by people's eating, still eating of tuna, buying tuna, consuming tuna, when you should know by now that you shouldn't be eating tuna, at least yellowfin, bluefin, big eye tuna, because they are rapidly being pushed to the brink of total species collapse, and they're full of mercury. Mercury causes brain damage, so if you eat a lot of it, you get brain damage. If you're a woman and you eat the tuna, mercury accumulates in your body, you have a baby, you give it to them. So let's not eat it, okay? So anyway, last week in Paris was the meeting of ICAT, which is the International Commission for the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas. And they had this summit. And this is a commission for the conservation of Atlantic tunas, but really they apparently are like the lapdogs of the tuna industry because they were supposed to get together with all the tuna fishing countries of the world and pledge a massive reduction in tuna catch. But they didn't. They pledged a tiny little token reduction in the tuna catch. And really, they are just pandering to the fishing industry, not addressing the issue of sustainably harvesting tuna. If they cut way back for the next 10 years, the tuna stocks would have a chance to reestablish themselves. But the amount they've cut back is too small, and it doesn't even begin to address the illegal fishing of tuna, which is a huge part of the industry. There is massive amounts of illegal tuna fishing and tuna poaching going on in the world, which goes unprosecuted. Like Chilean sea bass, too. A lot of that is caught by poachers, by illegal fish. But the Atlantic bluefin tuna, which lives here in the Atlantic and lives in the Mediterranean, is virtually gone, like practically gone. This was just on NPR this morning, so I'm very timely. As I was actually writing the show, there was a piece on this on NPR today. So the Atlantic bluefin tuna is virtually gone, wiped out. The Mediterranean bluefin tuna is the last resource, and those are rapidly being wiped out too. 70% of the tuna caught in the Mediterranean is then shipped to Japan, where the big worldwide tuna auctions are held. So it's shipped to Japan, it's processed there, it's frozen, and then it's shipped back across the globe to the U.S. and back to Europe, and of course to China. So I would say that's probably like the least sustainable fishing operation going on in the world, if the tuna is caught in the Atlantic, shipped to Japan, processed, frozen, and then shipped back. I would not call that sustainable fishing. And of course, now the Chinese, who are so newly affluent, have developed this great appetite for sushi, and they're buying up tons and tons of the world's tuna too. So that's exacerbating the problem. And I've mentioned all this before. I've talked about tuna before, you know, but like I said, I always assume that if I know about it and read about it, everybody else does too. But, you know, after having spent the weekend talking to my open-minded, well-read, smart friends who I greatly respect, I realize that's not the case. Maybe they need to start listening to my show a little bit more. So, and the funny thing about tuna is that up until 100 years ago, max 100 years ago, the Japanese, they didn't even eat tuna. They found it repulsive. They thought it was oily and smelly and dark and disgusting, and they considered it like a trash fish, or the fish you ate if you were really, really poor. It was like poor people food, which is so strange because now they can't get enough of it. The fish that they would eat for sushi were the lean white fish, and they liked the fish that had like a little resilience, like a little rubberiness to it, and not at all oily. But boy, tastes changed. The reason the Japanese started eating and liking tuna was because the idea of eating meat was introduced into Japan around the turn of the century. Japan had its borders closed to the rest of the world for centuries. They didn't allow anybody else in. They wanted to preserve their culture and keep it intact and keep it pure. And in the early 1900s, they started allowing foreigners in, and they introduced this idea of eating red meat, of basically eating four-legged animals. And that's when the Japanese developed a taste for beef and then developed a taste for tuna because it is so much like beef. So they didn't even eat the tuna until then, which is pretty funny. But I think what we should all do is, you know, go to our local sushi bar this week and talk to them and ask them if they would ever even consider not serving tuna anymore. I'm not sure what would happen. They would probably chase after you with a yanagi, which is the giant knife you use for cutting sashimi. But if enough people just stopped ordering it, they'd have to stop buying it. When I eat sushi, I don't need any tuna anymore. So if you just didn't order it, they would have to stop buying it, right? And, you know, I teach at a culinary school, so I'm trying to get it completely out of the curriculum at school also. We have it in two different lessons, and we just need to get rid of it. I don't think it's responsible of us. I don't think we're setting a good example. Anyway, if you go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium website, or if you go to seafoodwatch.org, they're connected. On the left side of the Monterey Bay Aquarium website, there's a What Can You Do tab, or What You Can Do tab. And if you click on that, there are cards on there that you can print out. Now, these are not the wallet cards for Seafood Choices that you get from Seafood Choices. You can download those or you can print those out. But if you go to What Can You Do on the left side, you can click on these cards that you can print out and you can leave them on the table in restaurants. And one of them is to thank that restaurant's management for making responsible, sustainable seafood choices. But one of them is to very nicely and politely say, I've noticed that there are fish on your menu that are not sustainably caught fish, and I just wanted to make you aware that I base my choices of restaurant on that. Basically saying, start serving the right kind of fish or I'm not going to eat here anymore. So I strongly encourage everybody to print those out and take them to the restaurants that are not serving the right fish, not making the right choices. And, you know, let's say 10 people in a month start leaving those cards on a table, let's say at that new restaurant down the block from me in Brooklyn, maybe it'll make a difference. Maybe they'll stop selling the tuna. I don't know. You know, greater revolutions have happened with just a few people speaking up. When I first started cooking professionally 20 years ago, there was this sort of national and worldwide voluntary chef's boycott of swordfish because the same thing was happening to the swordfish. We stopped selling it, serving it, we stopped eating it, and the swordfish came back. They were able to bring back the swordfish population. Now, swordfish also are high in mercury, so I don't eat them. But it's a good example of what you can do. If you just leave a species alone for 10 or 15 years, you actually can, they can come back. You can save them from the brink. That's all the time we have today. I hope that you'll think about some of this. I don't want to be preachy or tell you what to do, but, you know, I am Chef Smarty Pants, so you should listen to me. I know what's best for you. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Why We Cook this week on the Heritage Radio Network. The music you heard today was from Teebs, an artist on the Brain Feeder label. Tune in again next week and every Tuesday at 6:30 for Why We Cook on the Heritage Radio Network, and follow us on Twitter at HRN Updates for more. Thanks for listening.